Welcome to the Pearl Church Connect Group Leaders Training. We are excited and thankful for you as you take a step into leading a Connect Group here at the Pearl Church. Our goal in this training is to equip you in all aspects of leading a group and to set you up for success. We are praying and believing God is going to use you in a powerful way and transform the lives of those who are a part of a Connect Group. Together, we will fulfill our mission to love God, love people, change the world. Enjoy the training. Session 3, the win. Thank you guys so much for just taking the time. I know that there are all of us have a lot of different things going on, so I just want to, on behalf of our leadership team, just say thank you. Number one, for your willingness to lead a Connect Group. I think what's so cool, and Pastor Sharon even reminded me when I was in the office, is take a deep breath and look in front of you of what God's doing. And, you know, I got involved in Connect Group ministry about 3-4 years ago, and we had maybe 5 groups. And I just think to myself, like, the amount of groups that we had were in this room 3 years ago. And now this is the amount of leaders that we have. And you multiply this by each of you, and I'm just in awe of what God is doing in our house. So just on behalf of Pastors Doug and Donna, our leadership team, thank you for being willing to open up your homes, to open up your lives, to pastor people, and to take care of people. And so I know that those forms went out, and I'm actually going to ask you to resist the temptation to fill them out right now. I know how hard it would be. I'm super type A and want to get something off my plate like this. But we're going to go through a few other things, and then we're going to give you some time. Thanks, Kaylee. Did anyone not get a form? Because we have a few extras right over here. Thank you. Did you need one? Right here, Kaylee. Right here. It's okay. All right. So we're going to take some time to go through the third section of the Connect Group Leaders Training. So we went over the foundation, the function, and now we're going to go over the win. I think that's super, super exciting because I like to win. I like when my team wins, and I like when you win, and I like when our church wins, because ultimately, because of that, then Jesus wins, and it's awesome. But the cool thing is, and one of the things that I think before we can celebrate a win or even know what, we need to know what the win is. We need to define the win. And what I love about what's happening with this structure that we are building and we're committing to is not only are we defining the win for every single group and every single leader here, we're also committing to coach you through and be alongside of you as you win. And I'm just so excited about doing that. And so if you have questions about hub leaders and what that means, this form here, if you don't know, just be honest with us. I don't know who my hub leader is. You can select right there. Have you spoken to a hub leader? If you don't know who they are, your answer will be no. So just helping you guys out. See, I'm already coaching. Like, this is good. No? Okay. Anyway. All right. So we're going to jump into section 3 on page 23, the win. So ultimately, I think that this first sentence says exactly what this training is all about. The goal is to set you up for success. And that's what we want. We want to see. We want to see you be successful and your groups be successful. We want to encourage you to embrace some of the things that we know were successful strategies that have worked for other people. But we also want you to be aware of potential pitfalls that we've all experienced in Connect Group ministry. Because one of my favorite quotes is that a smart person learns from their own mistakes. A wise person learns from the mistakes of others. And so I want to be able to share some of my experiences. And I know our Connect Group leaders that have led in the past, you do. All of us make mistakes. I love what Pastor Elliott said about this. And I actually felt this in my spirit coming in here, is that this training is not meant to be heavy. Yes, it's a responsibility, but we're going to carry this together. And Jesus is going to help us carry it. So the cool thing is about this is that we're in this together. All of us, the hubs ultimately unite, right? We're all in this moving forward in one, with one purpose, with one mission, because we have one passion, and that's to see our world know who Jesus is. Yeah. And so I'm just really excited about that. And so we want to talk about just some strategies that we can give you, hopefully just to give you, just to start getting your brain going on what's going to work best for you. So these are they're strategies, they're opportunities for you to then get creative within them. And so I don't want you to feel like you have to do these, but these are things that we have seen other people use to then be successful in leading their groups. And here in the next few minutes after we go through this, you'll actually be able to hear from some of the most successful groups that we've had here at the Pearl. Now, there are some people in this room that have very successful groups, but we couldn't have them all line up to share. So we just picked two that we wanted to highlight, but just know that there are other people in this room that have very successful groups. And so we're not going to hit everything in this specific training, but that's why I love that we are giving it to you so that you can reference it at any point. You can take it and review it with your hub leader. So it's just something for you meant to be used as a resource. So talking right here with beginning your group, one of the things that I think what we really believe here is ultimately you're hearing this, right? The Connect Groups is meant for relationship, is that we want to build and help facilitate and give people the opportunity to build relationships. And when you're beginning your group, this is crucial because you want to set the tone right away. And so there are a few ways that we just want to highlight for you that you could pick out of here and launch your group in this way. So I'm going to highlight a few of them, but again, we're not going to hit all of them. Number one right here. Again, you set the tone for authentic connection. And so we've actually seen some of our most successful groups launch the semester with a very casual, no pressure type of atmosphere where people can just get to know each other. So we've suggested people, you know what, just have them come over for food, have a barbecue, something social, something low key where people can just connect and get to know each other. Now you as the leader, it's going to seem casual, but one of the things that I really believe in as a leader is creating a culture that's intentionally organic. People experience this organic nature, but there is so much intention behind it with you as the leader, that you are very intentional. But when the people walk in, like I love what Pastor Sharon said about the Batabara family. They put so much intention into creating that culture, but when people walk in, it is so organic to them. It's like just this no pressure feel that they can go in and feel at home. So we've recommended that you set the tone of your semester just by having something fun. Do something that you could do an activity just to, but create and foster an atmosphere where people can get to know each other. So do something fun. There's meeting people in the church. I think one of the things that I would love to see come out of this group is just the inviting spirit, is that, you know, that those four gifts will operate. You'll see people take the lead, but I actually feel that there is a responsibility on all of us to have that, to create that open atmosphere, but to invite. You know, I think that there is so much power in a personal invitation. You know, I'll share just a brief and we'll get through this, I promise, and get you out of here in time. But I know the power of a personal invitation, because when I walked into the Pearl Church 6 years ago, if someone didn't invite me to a Connect group, I don't know if I would be standing right here in front of you. It took somebody like Amber, I don't know if she's in here, she was sitting over there earlier, who's become one of my best friends, that she went out of her way to invite me to her Connect group. And Gabby Newman back here and Amber Abalos tag teamed me and they got me to that group. It was the very last meeting that they had, and then they never had it again. But there, isn't that crazy? But there was something so impactful because seasons shifted, right, Amber, right? Like kids and ministry life. But you know what was so crazy is I wouldn't have been the person, as charismatic and as excited and passionate as I get, because of the journey that I had experienced in church. It took two young women coming to get me to say, hey, come be a part of this group. I want to be that for people. And I think that should be something that's activated in each of us, whether it pushes you outside of your comfort zone to be an evangelist. All it takes is that one personal connection. You're talking to somebody and you're like, you start to feel your heart pounding. You feel the heat of the Holy Spirit saying, invite them. Come on, you know what that feels like. So I'm encouraging you right now that you would just do it. Invite them, because it can really change somebody's life. And so so when you're meeting people in the church, as you're beginning your group, have that invitation, that personal invitation, get it out there. Be intentional about even where you're planted. You know, we do want to see our Connect groups. We do want to see reach take place, right? So wherever you're planted, that's an intentional planting by God. So are there people around you? Are your coworkers, your family, your neighborhood, wherever God's calling you to, whatever specific type of group? I think one of the groups I'm really excited about that we're going to be introducing is Dustin and Chelsea Robbins' group, where they are just evangelistic by nature, and all people are going to be invited to this group. But I think they're going to be intentional but with where they are, who's around them. So I think my prayer for this group is that our eyes would be open after the ends of this at the end of this training, for us to see the people that God has intentionally placed in our lives so that we may be able to invite them. So I'm like, I'm up here preaching. I'm excited. Like, let's go. All right. You can also start an interest group. Like, there's so many different things that you can do. What I think I've heard another church say this, but basically, like, your passion is your group. You know, like, what Pastor Doug, I think that's the easiest one, right? If you are interested in fly fishing, like, that's a great opportunity to just start a group, invite people over, invite people into your world, introduce them and draw them near to Jesus. But if they don't know him, they'll know you. And then because they know you, they'll know him. So let's invite people. That's the beginning. That's beginning of your group. Invitation. Be intentional. Go get people. But one of my favorite numbers here is number 8 with beginning your group. And this is what I just loved, what even took place over here with the Kirkpatrick's group. I see them already. They're looking for other people to join their group. I saw it happen just a half hour ago. Always keep that in mind as you're beginning your group. Look for other people that are around you that could partner with you so that you can bring all that gift mix together and we could really see a really dynamic team form and really impactful groups take place this semester. So please reference that. And if you have any questions at all about how to launch your group, please talk to your hub leader. They would love to be someone that's a good, great resource for you to help you get your group launched successfully. And we just want, again, from this training, for you to be as equipped and prepared as possible when you do face different things for us, so you know what to do. But then always know that you have the support of your hub leader and the pastoral team behind you. So continuing on page 24, I'm not going to go into all of these, but these are just potential connect group discussion options that we talked about, how you can have a sermon series discussion. So Pastor Sharon mentioned that. So if you're interested in that, please mark that on your form. I think the one that I would highlight the most and what I love is the testimony times. When you highlight someone to share their testimony, there's two things that happens. Number one, it builds the faith of other people and they get to see Jesus working in their life, but it builds their faith. Was anybody impacted today by Alyssa's story? Like, right? The power of a testimony and what that can do in people's lives, whether you're inviting your friends who don't know Jesus or just deepening your faith. I mean, I've been walking with the Lord for over 10 years. And when I saw Alyssa's story, it still broke my heart in such a good way and just even drew me closer, you know, to who God is. And so that's definitely one that I would highlight because it brings depth and substance to any group. Prepackaged Bible studies, you can read through this on your own. I think the biggest thing is that we definitely want to make sure that we're all in alignment. So if you have a resource of any kind that you want to use, we're just going to partner with you, walk through that, and make sure that it is an approved resource before you move forward. On page 25, marks of a healthy connect group. Now, this is when I was reading these myself, I started to think, because I've led a young professional girls connect group last year, and I thought to myself, did I hit all of these? Was my group healthy? And I think, again, that pressure, like just to be released from that and knowing that the Holy Spirit is going to guide you where you need to cultivate this culture and in this healthy connect group. And so number one, we want to see people out of your connect group learn to love their word. That is a mark of a healthy connect group. When you see people texting you scriptures or you're texting them scriptures and cultivating that in people, that there is a love for the gospel and a love for their Bible. When they learn to love it, but then also learn to read it, that is a mark of a connect group. A healthy connect group that we keep a mark of a healthy connect group is that we keep Jesus central. This whole point is to bring people closer to him and into deeper relationship, but it's him. He's the focus. I loved what Jess and Alfred said, that we do life together. That is a mark of a healthy connect group. And it is when you are doing life with each other, that you know what's going on in each other's lives. You're celebrating the highest highs, but you're walking through the trenches in the lowest lows, that we do life together. Because, and I believe this statement, I highlighted it, there is nothing more fulfilling or more biblical than living and experiencing life together with the family of God. I think that right there That was almost my personal mission statement, to see that happen in people's lives. We serve the church, the community, and each other. We grow in our desire to share our testimony and our faith. We develop our individual and together prayer life. There's actually a young couple that's here in our church. They've been here for a few years now, but I remember the first time they prayed out loud. And now they're dynamic. You would never even know, like, that, oh, just a few years ago, like, someone has to start somewhere. Why not start with us? Like, we want to see them start, and like, let's teach them, let's coach them. But that's going to be a mark of a healthy connect group, is when you're growing in your prayer life as an individual, but also together. That we, a mark of a healthy connect group is when we experience tangible spiritual transformation, that we want to see that happen in people's lives. We will grow in our esteem and our commitment to the local church. That's a mark of a healthy connect group, because they're going to see that we are a church of groups, that we have that. We are a church with groups, and that we want people to be attached to the local church. And number 9, we celebrate together. That's something that we do with each other, because this, to me, genuinely demonstrates our love for people, is when we celebrate with each other. We celebrate birthdays. We celebrate milestones. We celebrate promotions. We celebrate the different things in life. That's a mark of a healthy connect group leader. And number 10 is that we mature in our natural and our spiritual gifts. Ultimately, and I love this, is we want to see that. We want to see you all. But I think that there's even just this thing that's happening in this season of our church, is that it's not just about we want to see us in this room. We want to see the people in our group right here mature in their natural and spiritual giftings. So this run right here, is I'm going to read this statement, is that ultimately the desire to lead and launch another group will be the natural outcome of a healthy group. Because what we say here at the Pearl Church is that healthy things grow. So when you have a healthy group, I've talked to Jeff and Sherry about this, it's starting to, their group is starting to expand and get bigger, bigger, bigger. Well, to me, that's an indication that, you know what? It's time to start another group. Yeah. So healthy things will continue to grow. So we will, I know on the next page we talked about this, but I just think when you hear this, you hear the marks of a healthy connect group, that you'll start to see this in your group. But just remember these two things: lean on God, because it's he's the one that's going to bring the health to your group. He's the one that's going to cause it to grow through you. And then just take it one step at a time, because we don't need to hit all 10 in the first week. Like, just look at this and allow the Holy Spirit to come alongside you and develop a game plan so that you can cultivate this culture. Number 28 is actually my favorite page in this entire book, but Pastor Sharon went over it already with you. So please take some time just to review that with you there. With connect groups, we talked about discussions, right? Different types of builders. So we've given you different aspects of different things that can help build a discussion, that you're fully engaged as a leader. That just remember this, that you set the tone, that your group will always be a reflection of how you're leading it, in the sense of, if you're engaged, they're going to learn how to be engaged. If you're listening, they're going to learn how to listen. So just hit these different things here, but be fully engaged, be a listener, learn how to redirect. I think the most challenging thing that I learned as a connect group leader is when someone does sidetrack the conversation and you go out to left field and you're like, that is there. There's the healthy tangents that Jeff and Sherry were talking about, where you feel the Holy Spirit. You're like, wow. And you leave the night going, I did not know that that was going to happen. But you also know, because your Holy Spirit led people in this room, when it's going the wrong way. And so what we want to do is empower you and coach you to know that you have the responsibility to make sure the conversation is redirected. And you just pray for a ton of grace, but you have to go for it. You've got to step in and gracefully, but also sternly and assertively redirect the conversation, because it's your responsibility. You are a shepherd. Everybody in this group is responsible for the group. And so this will happen. I can't wait to hear your testimonies about this, because we'll laugh. We really will. And just pray, and just know, though, that this, that God's got your group. So don't worry about it getting so sidetracked. Like, you're going to redirect it, and we're going to just pray. I've prayed this prayer before. God, just remove their memory. Like, shield their ears. I often pray for open, but I'm like, close them, Lord, like, that they not may hear. So I'm just sharing I'm just being real, right? They said, be honest. So just learn to redirect, clarify when needed. There's a lot of different things that what we really want to do, though, as I think the thing is just rely on the Holy Spirit, trust him that he's going to lead you to launch a successful group and create and cultivate successful discussions. But know this is a skill, so that it is something to cultivate in you to practice. And to, it's not just, hey, I'm going to walk into the group and the Holy Spirit's going to show up. No, like there is a preparation that needs to take place. And so just, you can go through all of these different things that we're suggesting. We also throw in here the pitfalls of what could be a connect group killer in your group. And we've all either been a part of them or can humbly admit we've been them before, a connect group killer. So these are different pitfalls that we just want to make you aware of so that we avoid them, so that we can have successful groups. So that's preaching, being long-winded, inadequate preparation, not following the plan, arguments, unclear expectations, and wrong motives. As you go through this, there's so much more content in here. One member dominating the group, confessing sin, exposing another's faults, negative attitudes towards the church. There are different things that we can do that, again, we want some of this, that we are going to deal with people's attitudes, right? So right here, this a negative attitude towards the church. You know what? That's going to happen in your group. We want it to. That's fine. But with you or with a pastor, that we want to take that and make sure that we are guarding the culture of the group and meeting with them one-on-one to pastor them through what they're feeling and what they're going through. So we don't want you to shy away from that, but we also want you to be cognizant and aware of what the group is experiencing. All right, so I just think that is just it, that you're going to really rely on the Holy Spirit to lead you, but know that you have a hub leader that is in your corner cheering you on and that wants to be a part of making sure that you are successful this semester. And so there are a few other little practical things that I will come back with as we're closing the end of this. But Pastor Doug is actually going to come up and share a few things from the overall church and some of our stances on a few things. I'll come back up and we'll talk about a few practical things, and then we're going to pray together. So welcome, Pastor Doug.
All right, everybody, come on, let's jump in. We're into the home stretch here. I want to jump into a couple of things here that don't come up a lot, but they will come up, okay? So I was just looking through my notes in the back, and this last spring or last year, we had just over 250 people in Connect groups that went through Connect groups. And our faith this year is that we'll have over 400 people by the end of the year in Connect groups, all right? Can you believe with me for over 400 people, right? So that means that this kind of atmosphere, the teaching, the checklists, this kind of thing, it helps us to build. This is how you build. And, you know, this notebook, again, for you, it's a resource. I had somebody come up to me the other day and ask me a question about, you know, how to do something or how to handle something. And I said, well, go to your journey track notebook, because it's in your journey track book. So they went back, and sure enough, there it was, right? So in the same manner, you're going to go throughout the course of the year, and some of these things might never come up. And, you know, honestly, I hope they never do. Even in this last session, you know, I hope that all of your groups are always fun, always awesome. There's never an awkward moment. There's never a person who tries to dominate the room. But the truth is, it's going to happen, right? So some things, though, are specifically for when you need them. Now, it's like in a church, we have a thing called a constitution and bylaws. So if you've ever started a business, there are bylaws that you have, your incorporations, right, for your business. Well, some of our bylaws and our constitutions, we have a saying that is, you know, you don't ever need them until you need them. In other words, it might only come up once in a year or once in 18 months. But when that one time comes up, you are glad that you have a policy. And everyone here, not just in the 12 weeks of running a Connect group, but throughout the course of the year, let's say you got four or five people in your group. Throughout the course of the year, you're meeting with those people. They're your friends, right? So something might come up later. It's not just in the context of your group, but it's in the context of church life and in the context of relationships. Some of these things are going to come up. And for us that work in the office, the pastoral team, we actually deal with these quite a bit because we want all of you to bring some of these up to us. And that's kind of the way it works. But let me hit a few real quick and we'll be done with this part. But these are important. All of these I see every year. All of these we run into every year. We deal with these on a consistent basis you know, in the bigger group of the church. But I want to mention them. Now, I'm not going to read all this. I want to mention them, say a few words, and you can come back to the Missionetum. The first one, number one, these are TPC pastoral care guidelines and policies. Some of these are guidelines, some of these are policies. Now, in the back of your folder, in the appendix, you'll also see all of the different policies and procedures that we use in the church. There's actually a section called Q&A, questions about the Pearl Church. A lot of people can go back there and your answers are there for the questions you have. But let's look at a few of these. Number one, you're in a connect group situation, and you have a codependent kind of a person. Now, let me just read the definition of what codependency is, then let me just elaborate a little bit. A type of dysfunction tied to relationships where one person, whether aware or unaware, most of the time unaware, supports or enables a person's addiction, poor mental health, immaturity, irresponsibility, or underachievement. At the core of codependency is an excessive reliance on other people for approval and identity. And in the course of a connect group, sometimes there will be people who their relationship with you can be a little bit out of balance. Right? And so you have to learn how to balance those things. Like, they want to spend all their time with you. They're constantly calling you. They move into your house. That should be a sign. But there are certain kinds of, it's happened. There are certain kinds of relationships where you have to draw certain boundaries, and that's okay. One of the things when you're trying to pastor people is you're not quick often to draw a line or to have boundaries. You have to have some boundaries, because without them, it affects everything else going on in your life, right? So there are times where you just have to say, you know what? We've met 47 times, and I can no longer meet with you. I love you, and I'm your friend. Hey, I can't wait to play golf. I can't wait to go to the movie with the guys. Awesome. But I can no longer really talk to you about this because you're not listening. So what we're going to do is I'm going to send this up the chain. And you're going to meet with one of the pastoral team, and they're going to help you, because there is a line there. So you'll kind of get used to this. You'll have this happen to you occasionally, so you can read through that. Number two, private information. What I would say here is that information is not is not a privilege; it's a responsibility. And whenever people share things with you in the context of a pastoral meeting or the context of a pastor group, a connect group. Obviously, it's not our job then to share that information or to broadcast that or put that on your Instagram. That would probably not work. But the core of this is that when people share things, you are now carrying something that is important to them. So if you can imagine, information, it's kind of silly, but information is kind of like a baby. You know, if I hand you my child, my newborn, maybe you're now carrying, you are now responsible for something that impacts my life. And this tiniest little information that's shared in the wrong context can actually have some huge consequences. And people get hurt and they get wounded. But you want to make sure that you're always trying to protect that information. Now, there's a balance here, and you'll see it in the notes. You might need this at some point. If someone says to you something like, I want to share something with you, but you have to promise me you will never tell anyone. My first statement always is, then don't tell me. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to pastorally have this discussion with you. And I want you to know that if you say to me that, you know, that you're doing violence, or you're a criminal, or something's going on, or something with a child, or sexual abuse or something, you just need to know that I am not going to keep that private. Okay. Now, that's not the same as what I would be subject to, which is kind of a pastoral covering, sort of a legal thing. Sometimes I can't share what people say to me, but in the normal course of life, you need to just kind of make sure that you're knowing that whatever people say to you, you want to do your very best to keep it confidential. But there are certain times where you have to say, okay, now what we've done is we've just crossed the line, and that's the kind of information where you either don't tell me, or we're going to go 24 hours, and either you're going to tell somebody or I'm going to tell somebody. So there is a line there, and you can read through what some of that might look like in the notes. But it'll happen to you in the course of pastoring at least once or twice. It'll come up, I promise. Let's go to the next one, mandatory reporting. This is what I was referring to before. So we are subject to mandatory reporting. In other words, There are cases where pastoral confidentiality is actually protected by law for me, for those that are licensed in our church. So I don't have to, if I go to court for something, I don't have to share anything that was shared with me in a private pastoral counseling situation, with one exception. If it causes physical harm to another human being, if someone is in jeopardy, then at that point, I actually am subject to different laws in the state, and I become what is called a mandatory reporter. Now, do we need to define the word mandatory? It means you don't have a choice, right? So there are certain things that fall under the mandatory reporting laws, okay, of the state. And you can read through, you know, what some of those circumstances would be here. But there are other instances in which a leader or member should always communicate with the church leadership, including the following. So there are certain things where it's like it's not a mandatory reporting issue. In other words, it's not sexual abuse of a minor or something along those lines. But there might be other stuff. And you don't have to, you're not required by law to share that with anybody. But you're going to want to do it. And you're going to want to make it very clear to that person, hey, I want you to know that this is going up the food chain. We have a saying that we like to use around here, which is report up and counsel down, right? So people are sharing with you, there's certain things, you don't go horizontally, you don't go this way and say, oh my gosh, you know, so-and-so over here, what he told me, and then you go to this person. No, there are certain things when they come to you, you go straight up the chain, right? Credible threats or harm, serious mental health problems, illegal substance abuse. Like you're not required by law to, you know, go to the police and say so-and-so is a drug addict and they're going to destroy their life. But how many of you know you're going to want to? Like you're, for the sake of them, you know, you're on drugs. We're going to deal with this. I'm not going to keep that a secret. Violations of the law, crisis situations. Then there's these other ones like you've done all that you can to help this person. Maybe it's time to go up the food chain. Maybe you don't know how to help, etc. Okay. Obviously, sexual harassment in the church, very important. We take that very seriously. We have policies for that, which are located in the appendix in the back. Moral failures inside of a connect group, which actually is part of pastoring. You're going to have in your groups maybe only once in a few years, or maybe often in a few years, depending on who you're dealing with in the group. But moral failures, you should never try to handle as a connect group leader some of these, and then moral failures by yourself. In other words, I'm sharing this with you in confidence. Okay, great, we're pastoring now. This is what I think we should do. Hey, Johnny, here's what we should do. We're going to go up the chain to the hub leader, to the pastoral team, and we're going to make sure that we get help because I actually don't know exactly how to help you right now. I'm not sure what to do. And some of you here have made it a habit, four or five of you specifically that I can tell you right now, have made it a habit to go up the chain. When you're kind of stuck, you'll come to us, you'll say, I don't know what to do. What should I do here? And then you always apologize. Like, I'm so sorry for taking up your time. I know that you're busy. I did not want to bother you with this. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And I just want to go, I am not a priest. However, if you want to give me money for my time, and we'll call it penance, I'm totally fine. And then you can have all my time you want. But you have to understand, we actually like that. So don't ever apologize for bringing something pastorally up the food chain, because we need to work on these things together. Moral failures are a big one. Marriages that are falling apart, adultery, abuse, there's just certain things that you've got to wrestle through that with your hub leader and then the pastoral team. Number five, promoting business or investment opportunities in the church. I think we're all mature believers here and we all understand that one. We have a saying, it's in the second paragraph. I'd like you to just look at it down here. I'm going to read it out loud, but it goes like this. Use your business for the church. Don't use the church for your business. And I think that really speaks to the heart of business opportunities, investment opportunities in the church. And our church has a very healthy track record of all of this. But even this morning, just this morning, I was after church, I got online and I liked a photo of somebody that I know, not here, not in our state. You'll never meet them. And so I liked their photo because they've liked a few of my photos. So I was like, oh, that's a cool. So I liked their photo and I'm sitting in the lobby. And then, I don't know, 20 minutes later, I get a message. And the message is, hey, Pastor, thank you for liking my photo. I noticed that your website loaded slowly on my phone. I don't know if you've ever considered da-da-da-da-da. I would love to help you with this. Let me send you my fees. And I thought that is exactly what we don't want to happen. Do you know what I mean? In any of our groups anywhere. Man, I love you. You're such a great guy. I was just wondering, you know, if I could borrow $10,000 and we're going to start a business. And I think we're all very mature in this room. This is something. It wouldn't matter what the business is. You have to be very careful with using the church for your business. But the Bible's very clear that what does the scripture say in Deuteronomy? It says, for he has given us the ability to establish wealth on earth that we might establish his covenant. And so that's a very real teaching in scripture that we believe. Okay, I'm almost done. Counseling. We believe that many common care issues that people have are going to need some counseling. Now, what I've done in here, I've basically just said that counseling, as much as possible, needs to take place within the Connect group. Now, as we started this, I said it before, but the counseling and the strengthening of people needs to happen inside of the community. When that sparks, this is what I've seen. I've seen real relationship begin to happen. When people start going to each other, saying, hey, I need prayer. Hey, I'm going through something. Can you pray for me? Can you help me out? When a couple in your group is having a baby, and the woman's having the baby, he's a willing participant. They're having a child. They're gonna have their child, and you know, your Connect group says, wow, this is so exciting. And so you guys get together and you buy them a whole bunch of really fun little gifts, and you take all the food prep and all the meals that we're gonna help them for, you know, a few weeks. We're just gonna a few days. I don't know how many days we do it, but a few weeks would be nice, wouldn't it? But you're gonna do it yourself. So we have somebody here, Britt, who actually coordinates all the meals for all the couples who have babies, and she's done a phenomenal job. But as the church grows, and we've already hit that point. There are babies everywhere now. They're being born all the time. It's like Colorado and rabbits. You people are like, you're just birthing babies. And I'll go to the nursery and it's just wall-to-wall infants and workers are crying. At a certain point, we have to help each other. We've got to take care of each other, and we need to decentralize some of those pastoral care issues, okay? But it happens inside the small group. Financial hardship situations, you'll see some policies here on how we handle financial hardship situations. We have a church phone in our church. Now, you may not know that because probably less than 5 of you have ever called it. No one calls the church. Nobody. When I, you know, 20 years ago, that's all we had. And the phone, Paul, he calls all the time. You're back on page 33. I'm going to read you your description. But people are online. I actually was sitting in church one day, and a guy came in, and he pulled out something offline. He had downloaded some of our description. He was like checking it off because he'd gone online. People just don't call the church anymore. We might go a month where we don't really have a phone call that's anything but sales or people asking for money. And, you know, we give out a lot of money, tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds. I mean, literally, we're into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. We've given away tens and tens just this year. But we have a policy, and it kind of goes like this, and you can read it. There are reasons why we would help people out, but we always start with people in the church first. We have to take care of our own. And there are people who call almost every week asking us to pay their rent and buy their groceries and get them a refrigerator and pay for their hotel rooms and take it. And you always feel really bad when you have to say there's only so much money and I wish we could help you. Now we have a list of resources that we give them now. Here are a list of places that you can go. Here are people that you can get food here. You can get a place to stay. But in our church, we really need to take care of our own members first. Because if we're just sending money everywhere, we can't take care of our own. I want you to know we kind of run out every year. We're constantly trying to replenish that to take care of families in our church. And then we have some other guidelines for you to read to know if it's a real, you know, hey, they really need this money. We're really going to help them. And every single week, we're helping families in our church every single week, okay? Number eight. One of the guidelines, we just say it like this. This one's over my head. Every once in a while, you just don't know what to do. Please go up the food chain, get some help, get some advice, okay? Now, some of those, whether it's mandatory reporting, moral failures, you know, they don't happen every day. But when they do happen, I think that the theme is protect people's information, but not if it's detrimental to others. And when you're in a spot, go up to the hub leader and the pastoral team and let them be involved with it so that we can all make really good and wise decisions together. Amen? Amen. Okay. I think we just have a couple more things, just a couple little things left practical. And yep. And Tasha's going to share those with you.
Awesome. All right. So just a few more minutes. I'm just going to hit some practical things. And then Pastor Doug's going to come back up and he's going to pray with all of us. So beginning on page 41, organizing childcare, we have some tips for those of you who will be impacted by that. So please take a look at those suggestions. On page 42, we talk about our Connect Group yearly calendar. So as you've started to hear this terminology of semesters or how many weeks, what we are doing is, I loved what Pastor Elliott said. He's like, strategic structure allows freedom. I thought that was really cool from an organizational standpoint, that the structure is built for you and for the congregation in the sense of we have a semester this fall that will be for 12 weeks. So we're asking that you commit for those 12 weeks. Now, whether you meet every other week or you meet every week, that's something for you to discuss with your hub leader. But the semester when people can sign up, where we really ramp up and really promote, is the fall semester. So next Sunday, the next three Sundays, so the 19th, the 26th, and then September 2nd, we will have sign-up Sundays. So you will hear from your hub leader or from Pastor Sharon and I about what that's going to look like. So that's why this form in front of you before you leave today, after we pray, please take a few minutes to fill that out and drop it off. Now, if you don't know yet about what you want to do with that form, we still just want to hear from you that you don't want to know, that you don't know yet. We want to help you walk through that. So this each semester lasts for 12 weeks. We're going to launch this fall. The next three Sundays are sign up Sundays, and we'll give you some more instruction this week as to what that's going to look like. I think one of the key things that I just want to hit, two things with the semester calendar, is that after the semester is over, that doesn't mean you have to be done. Just, it's not like class is over. If you want it to be, that's great. But pastoral care doesn't stop after 12 weeks. We want to encourage you to keep going, meet with them. Maybe it may not be as frequently or as formally as you have before, but continue to meet, continue to care for one another. So that's something that your hub leader will coach you through as the semester starts to come to a close. But also one of the important things that we just want to highlight, and I know you're getting this, is that we are a church with connect groups, right? That we have those. And so we always want to make sure that the connect group is never conflicting with a church event. So if you have different things going on, this has happened before. If we have a dream team night on a Sunday night, but then there's also, like the Farias family mentioned, that they had Sunday night groups, they would bring their group here. I know Malia and Elliot do this, that they meet on Tuesday nights. When there's a beautiful night, Malia brings all the young professional girls to beautiful, and Elliot does a guys night. We always want to make sure that we never want to have people choose between the church and the connect group, because we're one church. We want them to feel like, so you get my point. Funnel them through the church. And then lastly, celebrating the win. There are going to be multiple things that we want to celebrate with you. And as we're growing, we've actually, as a leadership team, have recognized that we don't know everything that's going on all the time. You guys will know more about what's going on in your group, but we want to know. So not only the pastoral, it's over my head, we also want to hear the testimonies. It doesn't need to be in a formal report. Just let us know. No, know, like, hey, this is what's happening. This is what's going on. So-and-so is getting baptized. Like, let your hub leader know. They want to partner with you and celebrate with you. There will be times, though, in this semester where we will ask you to fill out a formal report. It's nothing overbearing. It's just to allow us to keep a pulse as to what is going on with you, how we can better serve you, but also what's going on in your group. And again, I promise you, they are not horrible. They'll take 5 to 10 minutes at the very most. But those will be some things that we will ask of you to do. And then again, celebrate those moments, celebrate the wins. That is something that we as a dream team, you are a part of the dream team. That's what we want to do. It's the core value of, it's the eighth point of who we are as a dream team. We celebrate the wins. So let's celebrate after this, like let's celebrate what this semester is going to bring. And so I just want to close with this and then Pastor Doug will come up is to just really embrace what God is calling you to. I loved what Jeff said that he's calling you to and embrace that role. And whether you fit those specific roles or you're a part of a team, but just allow God and the Holy Spirit to lead you in flourishing in your gifting because it's going to impact people. We're truly going to see the mission of our church come alive this semester in this specific ministry, that we're going to love God, we're going to love people, we're going to change the world. And I'm really excited to see that take place. And so I know that we're here as a part of the Connect leadership team, but overall leadership team, and as you, I know I can speak on behalf of the hub leaders and our pastoral team, that we want to support you. We want to see you be successful. So never be hesitant. Don't hesitate to reach out to us because we want to see your group. We want to see you and your group be successful. So we're here, we're in this together, and we're going to support you all the way through this. And just one thing that I think I've learned from Pastors Doug and Donna the most is when you think you have a game plan, I'm like, what do I do? And they're like, follow the Holy Spirit. Like, allow the Holy Spirit really to speak to you and lead you and guide you this semester. And I'm believing that we're going to celebrate a lot of wins. Amen. Awesome. We hope you enjoyed the training. For more information on Connect groups here at The Pearl Church, please visit www.thepearlchurch.org.